Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
People of the world, I am your host, GD. Welcome to iArtist Presents here on A Touch of Grace. Today's date is Monday, the 4th of August, and the time is 1:30 p.m. Now, I was going to be playing the trailer from the theater production of the stage play, In Laws from Hell. I cannot get Blog Talk Radio to cooperate with me. So, the play is slated to open in Los Angeles, California at the Wilshire Ebell Theater this Saturday, August 9th, 2014 at 7 p.m. The house opens at 1:30 p.m. and you can purchase the tickets by phone at 702-808-1261. Dreams. As a child, most of us can recall those starry-eyed visions we held onto when imagination was pure and as vast as the infinite constellations in space. As we grew into our creative armor, we slowly matured into vessels of insightful expression, rich in courage, abundant in strength, and anointed by faith. We learned the art of embellishment through our own personal trials and tribulations, as well as those of our friends, families, and people we encounter along the journey. Mastering our creative craft becomes the center of our universe, and we take those chances fearlessly, unmoved by the possibility of failure. God loans us a mustard seed worth of his profound creativity, and those of us blessed with it have the responsibility of nurturing it so it becomes all that the master has intended for it to be. Playwright novelist Adriana L. William wrote a novel that became the stage play entitled In Laws from Hell. The Orleans Hotel and Casino in Vegas is the first place that the stage play appeared. And now she has taken it to Hollywood, where stars are made and legends are born. Today, she, along with her talented cast of the Los Angeles group, joins us here on A Touch of Grace to talk about the finished product and opening night, which will be on Saturday, the 9th of August, at 7:30 p.m. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up all the microphones again, and we're going to have individual introductions from everybody from the cast who has joined us today. All right, so you guys are putting me to work today. I got to tell you that right now. All right. So now what we're going to do, I want to go ahead and I'd like everybody to introduce themselves. So let's start with Dominique. Who are you? And, so who are you? Is Dominique's character on with us today?
No, she isn't.
She's not. Did Malini Khan join us?
Malini just texted me. She's trying to call in now.
Okay, that sounds great. So who is the actress that will be playing Unique?
Vanessa Williams-Jackson.
Okay, is that you?
No, this is Adriana.
Hi, Adriana. Okay, how about Serene?
Hi, this is Camilla. I am playing Therese.
Okay. All right, so let's do this. I tell you what, everybody can hear each other's voice, so let's go with formal introductions. Adriana, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Adriana Williams. I am the writer, the creator, the producer, and one of the directors with the fabulous stage play. I guess that's it, BB. I guess that's a brief introduction.
Okay, that's pretty brief. So I'm going to do the phone numbers. I think it'll make it easier. 702-566, why don't you introduce yourself to the listeners today?
Hello, everybody. This is Demetrius Nixon, and my character that I play is Tiffany.
All right. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 310213, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. This is Nisi Knight Pruitt, and I play the character of Melissa.
Okay, this is going better than the other way. 917-480, go ahead and introduce yourself to the listeners today.
Hi, this is Mark Nelson. I play the character Joaquin.
All right. Well, welcome, Mark. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. You're welcome. And 702-539, who are you?
Hi, my name is Gayla Allison Murray, and I play the character Serene, who is saved and sanctified.
Okay, saved and sanctified. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. 702-648, who are you?
How you doing? This is Mark Callahan playing that cool cat, Jasper.
All right, cool, Jasper. Welcome to the show. And last but not least, 310-701, who are you?
Hi, my name is Camellia, and I'm playing Therese.
All right. Well, I just want to say welcome, everybody. This is the very first time that I had, because the last time we interviewed the Las Vegas cast, there was one number. So when I look at my switchboard, I have never seen so many numbers on it. So what that tells me right now is that you guys have a profound commitment to the play, and as well as Adriana L. Williams. So I appreciate you guys for taking the time out of your busy schedules to be here on A Touch of Grace. So the first question I have is going to be for Adriana. Now, I attended the Vegas show, as I was telling the young ladies before we started. How challenging was it for you to bring this play to Los Angeles?
Wow. It was challenging due to just quite a bit of different things that have transpired and continue to transpire. The devil is busy. It's just been a challenge. It's just been a challenge against my spirit, just against my professionalism. It's been a challenge, not because of the show, just people, you know. I don't know. It's been a challenge. I'm going to leave it at that.
All right. Well, when anytime you add the element of people into anything, you know how we can be. We could just be just
yes.
about as messy and unpredictable as possible because we're also overloaded with a lot of emotion. So I'm just glad that everything is on track and ready for what's going to be happening on Saturday. It's going to be fantastic. So does the LA production follow the original script, or have there been edits made from the original?
It follows it pretty much, GD. However, it is more music added to it, and we have enhanced the script a little bit. We've tweaked it a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, now that makes me want to even be there even more, because when I saw the first one, I thought it was just a hoot, and the theater was actually packed. And so, Adriana, what are some of the things that you learned from that first production in Vegas that you brought into your L.A. production to make it better?
You know, Judy, that's a long list of things, baby. That was truly a trial and error process that turned out to be extremely successful. I walked away with a lot of lessons. And I know it's way too many to name, but one of the things is staying prayed up, you know, keeping your faith strong, keeping people around you that are going to keep you grounded, not entertaining negativity, and releasing things that are not of you and not of God. One of the biggest things that I've learned is not to second guess myself. When my heart and my mind tells me to do something, do it so I don't end up regretting the outcome. So that's one of the largest that I have learned. But definitely it has taught me quite a bit. But we'll see. And I'm continuously learning. That's the great thing about this field. You learn and you continuously learn. And if you're open for suggestions and you're open for people talking to you and constructive, you get all of that. And it just makes you better, and it makes your productions better, and it makes your decisions better. So I'm learning. I have great people around me, like Niecy is on the phone right now. That's my God's gift right there. That woman right there, telling you. Man, like I said, lessons. Matter of fact, it has created so many lessons that one of the books that I'm getting ready to write is in regards to these productions.
Oh, wow. That ought to be really, really interesting. I know that there's a cast member from the Las Vegas cast. She's playing Serene. So Serene, Because I can't remember your name right off the top. So what have you seen from the perspective of where you sit as a performer? What do you see different from the Vegas production versus the L.A. production?
Well, one of them is there's a change in the actors. The other is more music, as Adriana said. There's more music, and it's been enhanced a lot, and it's been twerked a lot. I think it's going to be absolutely phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And
the cast is different.
Yeah, I saw that. Is the production going to be recorded?
I do believe so. Yes,
it is.
Okay. And the Wilshire Abell Theater is where the play will open this Saturday. How many seats are in the house, and how are the ticket sales going?
It's 1270, and ticket sales are actually doing pretty well.
Okay, that's fantastic. Okay, so for the listeners who tuned in today who may not know about the premise of the play and the theme that it deals with, can you kind of fill us in on what themes that the play deals with?
You want me to do it, or you want one of the cast members to do it?
Well, you know what? Let's give everybody a chance. Who wants to take that question?
Okay.
What was the question?
I can't say that I've had an experience with in-laws from hell, but what I can say is that I can understand the trials that could come with such a situation. And I think that it's something that people want to talk about because so many people experience that and probably don't have an outlet or anybody to talk to talk about that situation with. And with that being the case, when you see something like that on stage, then it helps you to know that, no, you're not the only one, and no, you're not the only one that has ever dealt with an experience such as this. I think it's going to be, number one, entertaining, number two, a blessing to some people to learn how to better cope and deal with those types of situations, and number three, it's going to be exciting and a lot of fun for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. So now the two people who are playing the married couple, who are they?
That would be myself, Niecy Knight Pruitt, and
Mark Nelson.
All right. Well, Mark and Niecy, so how did you both get that chemistry together to make it believable on stage that you guys are a couple?
Well, I think luckily enough, Niecy and I, we worked together before in a play called Love Ain't Supposed to Hurt. We did one and two, didn't we? Yeah, so we started there. So, you know, we already had, like, established a relationship. And so I feel very, very comfortable to be able to bounce off of her, this character. And we're, like, literally before we hang, or after we hang up, we will be running lines over and over and over again and just making sure that we have it down.
Wow. Well, that sounds fantastic. I'm going to have to check out Love Ain't Supposed to Hurt. I think I might have seen it, but I'm not really sure. So how, for a performer that's performing in front of an audience, and any one of these performers can actually take this question, or a couple of you guys, because I'd like to hear your perspective. How hard is it to invoke the emotion that you need to have at any given time while you're up there standing center stage?
That's a good question. Very good.
You know, I'll take part of that. Being that I'm new, this is Demetrius. I play Tiffany. For me, this is the first time I've actually done a stage play, so it's very, very new. It's a very big learning experience for me. I think for me is really just actually being able to relate to the situation and that whatever that character is going through at that time. And unfortunately for me, I have dealt with the in-law from hell thing. So I remember how it felt, and I remember the reactions of my loved ones who were concerned and would come to my help and, you know, expressing their, you know, how they felt and what they wanted to do and how they wanted to help me out. So I think for me, I'm taking my own personal experience with me to the stage and using that as far as, like, the emotions and things of that nature. I'm basically putting myself back in the position I was in 15, 20 years ago. So that's what helps me, what's been helping me.
And I would say, this is Niecy speaking, I would say that in acting, the objective is to just be. It's not about acting, it's about being. And because you you take yourself out of it at a certain time, you want to take yourself away from that and look at it from a different mind's eye so that you can say, hey, if I haven't had this as in a personal experience, where do I pull from? Well, you just be. If it really was you in this situation, what would you do? Just be. And, mm-hmm. and I think that that kind of helps us to be where we need to be in regards to what kind of emotion that needs to be evoked and what Adriana wants to get across to the audience.
Oh, wow. Okay. And so does somebody else want to answer that question as well?
They covered it. It's pretty thorough.
Okay. Well, you know what? One thing that I read, the late actor Philip C. Hoffman Jr. Was actually in a theater production of The Salesman. I can't remember the whole name of that actual play. And what was quoted is that every night at a certain time, he would have to cry or invoke such a dark emotion every night, and it actually got to him. So my question as a viewer and someone who would be watching you on stage, how do you separate yourself? How do you bring yourself out of character so that it doesn't funnel over into your everyday life? I mean, does that ever happen or has that ever happened to someone where you're in character and after you walk off stage, you're kind of still in it and you're trying to cut it off?
Yeah. May I answer this? This is Mark Nelson. Hi. Yeah, I perform a lot as well. It's not just with acting. And one of the things that I find extremely important is to step away from everything and find your happy place. Now, it may sound corny, but it's real important to find a happy place. For me, it's going to a movie theater. So literally when I get off stage, if I have to do a meet and greet or whatever, I'll do it. But I'm literally jumping in my car and going to see the next movie. And it just does something to take my mind off of what just took place. You know, I've acted before, but this is my first, like, really big role. And once we finish the show and we eat the dinner, I intend on going to a movie.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting because, you know, it's a very real thing. I think that when we're tapping into our emotions, first of all, not everybody can do that. Not everybody is cut out to actually be a performer because it does require a skill and a knack for actually be able to invoke emotions on a dime. So I guess the thing that I would like to know from someone else, how important is it for the person that you are performing with to throw off a certain vibe for you to actually get into your zone? Mm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes very big sense. It's very important. I think it's you're feeding off of each other. You're giving each other energy. You want to just kind of keep passing it back and forth as well as giving it to your audience. So it's really important to know how angry I need to be to get her pumped up to be just as angry, or how sad that I need to be for her to be just as sad, or to be as happy as for her to be as happy, just so it's believable and the audience actually relates to our energy that we're giving each other and the relationship that we actually are sharing at that time. I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Mark playing Jasper.
Hi.
Definitely, to piggyback off what she just said, it's definitely important because when you're running lines together and you're getting that chemistry down pat, it gives them more of a original to the play, to where folks can really feel that it's actually genuine. It's coming from a place where both characters are feeling the characters in their heart and not just reading some lines or
right.
just saying some lines. It gives up a whole different feel. So when the audience look at it, it's like, wow, like, I felt like that was me on that stage, that I
right.
felt like I was in that seat and I was in that position. So it's definitely very important to get that chemistry down pat, that, you know, how you say, camaraderie between both characters together, to work together and basically feed off each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about remembering your lines. I mean, for me, for somebody who can't remember something I said about 10 minutes ago, is there a certain formula that that you as a live performer follow in order to keep that in your head?
Oh, yeah.
Can I answer that question? This is Niecy.
Hey, Niecy.
What I'd like to say, I'm laughing because right now, actually, I have two plays in my head, two of which I'm leading. And at some point, you just have to find what makes it stick for you. That's just like you may have two different students studying history. One student may be able to just listen to the instructor, and they got it down pat. The other student has to go home and look over their notes over and over and over again. For me, I read it once through. I understand what's happening, and then I go back and I read it again once through so that I remember what's happening. At that point, now I kind of want to hear myself reciting these lines. So it helps me to record myself saying these lines and listening back to hear, do I like the way that I sound when I said that? And does it make sense, the emotion that I just gave? Does that emotion make sense with the chemistry of the other person? And so on and so forth. So it gets a little crazy when you have more than one script to memorize. But when you find what works best for you, I don't think it's the same thing for everyone. I think what's best for you is what's best for you. Some people remember their lines based on the blocking. Some people remember their blocking based on the lines. So it just depends on what's best, what works best for each person.
You know, there's something else.
May I chime in on that,
please? Sure.
Hi, this is Camellia. I play Therese. For me, what I do is I go over my lines and then I write them down on cards. And what I keep those cards with me everywhere I go. So I could be in the bathroom at a restaurant, and I'll spit them out. Or I can be at my job. If I have any moment of silence, I'm constantly going over my lines. And the last thing I do before I go to sleep is do that, and the first thing I do when I wake up. So for me, that works best.
Nice, nice. I have one more here. The biggest thing that, and I've just sort of recently learned it, but while I'm reading the script, I always look at the line that's being said to me, and then when I rehearse, I listen to what they're saying to me. Like, you know, when you're speaking to me, I'm listening to what you say, and then I'm internalizing and processing what you're saying to me. So with a combination of reading the script and then actually listening to the person speak to me, it just comes because there's not too many things you can say to what is being said to you, and that line just seems to pop right back up in my head.
Mm.
Yeah, knowing the cue line definitely helps.
Yeah. And does someone feed you the cues?
Sometimes when you're rehearsing.
Yeah.
But they won't do that on stage, though.
Right.
They won't. I missed that. I'm sorry. Can y'all say that again? I missed
right.
that. What did you say? Did they do well on stage?
Feed you the cue.
Feed you the cue.
Well, you can't depend on that either because sometimes you get there and you're in the moment and everything will leave you. So, but if you know the story and you know where you're supposed to be going, you can bring yourself back or your co-star can bring you back. Whoever's on stage with you at this time can bring you back so that you can get back on dialogue. You can get back to our script. Sometimes the cues just go away. We don't know where they go. They disappear like socks in the dryer. You know, we don't know where they go. But if you know the story, you can get back.
Yeah, you can give back. Okay, so let's talk about timing, because what I remember about the original play is that there was a lot of comedy in it. So that comedic timing. So if there's a bunch of you on stage, how do you keep that comedic timing? Are you guys checking out each other, checking for some type of body language sign that somebody gives you to kind of keep it on your timing?
That varies. Varies. It really does vary. I mean, some people are natural at it. Some people literally rehearse it to death just to get it right. And I think the latter of the two is not always on point. The first one is, you know, some people just gotta be natural with it. You know, you got, like you said, pay attention. If you're a jokester, like Mark, he is funny as hell. Okay?
Yeah.
And just for some reason, naturally, you're laughing because he has it so naturally, you know.
That's the other Mark. He spells his name with a K. I spell mine with a C. I just want you to know that real quick.
Okay. Thank you.
I hear you, Mark.
Clear that up.
You saw that, right? That was natural, right? That was hot, right?
What is the one thing that someone can do during a live performance that could throw things off?
Oh, man.
Ad-libbing. Ad-libbing too much can definitely throw the show off in a big way. So what I try not to do is to do too much ad-libbing, because sometimes you'll stray away from what the line was actually, you know, going for. And if you stray away too far, you can throw everybody else off. But if you stay close to it, you know, you stay close to what's supposed to be said, then that's one thing. But if you kind of, I've had some people be on stage with me and they go just way left and you go, oh, okay, I'm not sure where we're going with this, but, you know, you just got to kind of pull it back in so that can happen.
Especially if you're talking over your lines.
Oh, wow. And so when that happens on stage, how do you get them to refocus and get it back on track?
You tell them off real quick. You put them in check. Hey, Mark, remember this? Pipe down, dude.
I'm listening.
So this is a good question. Who is the diva of the bunch?
Crickets.
Okay, so nobody wanted to answer that one.
Maybe I'm the diva of the whole bunch.
The producer, the writer,
yeah,
the author.
There you go. There you go.
No, I would say Stefan. Don't put me in this. Stefan is
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Stefan is
the
definitely
producer, the
diva. The
writer, the creator is laid back. I mean,
yeah.
I don't say anything to y'all make me angry. But,
yeah.
I mean,
it's
I would say Stefan.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
I thought that I would bring that. I didn't mean to put you on point, Stefan. Okay. All right, so let's talk about the music. So now I know that there was recorded music that was playing this time. Will there be a band in the this time, or and how many of these songs are original?
All of the music is original, just like last time. All of the music is original. A lot of it will be tracked, and the only person that we actually have coming as far as live is a drummer.
Okay. And who did you work with to create the original songs for the show?
Demetrio Benson and Henry Jackson, which we call BJ.
Okay. All right. And so you brought a lot of the songs from the original stage performance, which I think is fantastic. How long did it take to assemble the cast for L.A.?
I would say that we did two casting calls. We did a Vegas and we did a LA, and then we had to recast. So it didn't take long. It was just tedious, if that makes sense.
And so I know that the actress that is playing Serene is one of the original members. Is there another original member that have joined the LA cast?
There are actually, yes, Robert Cox, who is not on the call. He played Robert. And then Gayla, phenomenal Gayla. I know she's on here because I've heard her. She played Serene, and she's playing Serene again. And then Kevin Quick played Stefan.
Okay. All right. And so how much pressure do you feel, Adriana, to have for this particular production? Is there a lot riding on this for you?
I can't really hear you. It's a lot of background.
Okay, I think I just cured it. It was coming from 702813. Okay. So
okay.
How much pressure is on you this go-round?
It's a lot of pressure on me this go-round, primarily, like you said, the Vegas show, it was right at 1,000 seats, and it was packed. That was a blessing. We have 1,270, which is not much more. But from the first production, I was blessed with an NAACP award for it, for a theater award.
All right.
We have that team coming, and we also have the nominations team from the Tony Awards coming. So it's a lot of pressure. But the good thing is that the cast that God has put in place, because Andreana didn't do it, God put these people in place for me, for us, for the production company. And, man, when I tell you that every last single one of them are phenomenal, they're loyal, they're dedicated, man, words can't even express the love that I have for these individuals. So the pressure's not on me. I'm going to take it off of me and put it on them, you know, but I know that they will do phenomenal. I have no worries about this group of people at all.
Thank you, Andreana.
Thank you, Andreana.
All right, that was very sweet.
Thank you,
Andreana.
thank you, Sugarfoot.
And I certainly love you. Now, I'm not going to try to single anyone out here, but I have to acknowledge that there's an actress who is the daughter of legendary Chaka Khan. Her name is Bellini. Did Bellini join us? No, she didn't. Okay, so can someone tell the listeners and myself, how did Bellini Khan become involved with In Lost from Hell?
Bellini became involved. Bellini and I went to school together. Bellini and I have been the best of friends for years. We attended middle school together and have been in contact. So Chaka Khan was like a second mother to me. And when I had to recast, the first person I thought of was Bellini, and she didn't say nothing but, "Andreana, send me the script. I got you." So, man, and her mom has been helping her coach, a couple of other few, you know, individuals that does different stage plays or been running lines and things with her. Matter of fact, I was hoping that she would call because she's at her mom's house at this point, and I would have loved Chaka to say something. But I also know that they are going over some rehearsals and things of that nature. So, but that's how Bellini got to be a part of the cast, because we are childhood friends, and I thank God for her. You know, she stepped right on in, and I definitely needed her, and she's here. She's definitely
all
here.
Right. All right. And so that's 702-813. I just want to find out, who are you?
This is Kevin Stefan.
Hey, Stefan.
Well, hello there.
Hey, everybody.
Yeah, well, you know what? You certainly have that Barry White thing going on about your voice. So why don't you introduce yourself for the people who tuned in today and tell us what character you're playing.
I'm Kevin from Las Vegas. I was excited to be back a part of the stage play. I was one of the original cast members. Very, very excited about what's getting ready to take place, because I really feel that we're going to go to a higher place now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in, and I want to step back and talk about Chaka Khan. Now, Chaka Khan is a legend. Okay, so the question that I want to know, is Chaka going to attend the performance?
Is she going to what, Mr. Gray?
Is she going to attend the performance?
Chaka is actually touring. Well, we're hoping that she will be able to make it. But first thing, yeah, she was not supposed to be in town. But I think that may change. But I don't want to say yes or no. But she has been very supportive.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the red carpet event. Are there any big names that are actually going to be attending the play that you know of?
There are quite a few large names that have RSVP'd with us. Off the top of my head, I don't know. I know Gary, definitely him and his wife are attending. Chris Bolton, he's wanting to be there, actually talk to him today. So it's quite a few that we've actually given seats to.
All right. Well, I know it's going to be a phenomenal show. Let's talk red carpet and dinner. What can guests expect when they arrive for the show?
For the red carpet event or for the play itself?
Yeah, the red carpet event, and I read where there's going to be a dinner as well.
That's going to be at the Mavericks Flat, and what they definitely can expect is being able to meet and greet the cast, take pictures. It is a red carpet event. Lounge around, talk to the cast, and eat. And DJ Paradise is doing the DJ Paradise is doing the DJing, so it's definitely a lot of fun and you know, being able to interact with the cast.
Okay, it sounds like it's going to be a fantastic event. As a matter of fact, I know it's going to be for all the reasons you said. A great cast of people with you who seem to adore you, and I really like when African American, when we come together and we're doing something for a worthy cause. And I know that In Laws From Hell is going to open and blow the doors off of a lot of mess going on at a lot of families out here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk set design. Oh, yeah, it's just a lot of mess. So set design, who helps you design the set?
Set design is designed by my technical director, which is also BJ, and he's also my assistant director along with Gayla Allison Murray. He's our Renaissance man. But he designed the set, and he's actually the technical director as well.
All right. All right. And then when we're talking sound, I remember when I went to the Vegas performance, Ariana, you had this headset on when I walked in. So are you working with the sound engineers on the night of the show?
Yes, I will too have the headset out. I am directing the show again. So I will be sitting in between the lighting and the sound engineers, and we will have, you know, stage manager back, and we will have runners, and we'll have the whole nine going on with the play. But yes, sir, I will be up there with the sound and the lighting.
All right, that sounds fantastic. Now, for your performers who have joined us today, what words of wisdom would you like to give them as the show approaches its opening?
Words of wisdom. I more so have encouragement and appreciation. Wisdom, I think they got it, you know, for the most part. But what I can say is, like I said, just the appreciation that I have for them all. And just keep your heads up. I mean, it's a lot being thrown at us on a daily basis. It never stops. Every day I am hit with something messy, just something ungodly. I'll be nice and say that. So when it affects me, it affects them, especially the ones that are close to me. So I just say, stay prayed up, keep me grounded, and let's do this.
All right.
The reason why we are under the type of stress and warfare that we are. It's something about this play. It's something about them hitting that stage that it's not supposed to happen. But the devil is alive.
It's our future. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Most definitely. And so,
yes.
who are the performers that will hit the stage first?
That
the
would be me,
that will
Tiffany.
Hit the stage first would be Melissa and Tiffany, and then following that would be the salon scene, and then you'll see Joaquin come in.
I thought you saw me first. No.
Well, they actually no. GD, let me change that. No, it is. It's Missy and Tiffany. But let me tell you something. I have an addition, which I'm so very proud of. My oldest son.
Wow.
Is opening up two of the scenes. So I'm so proud of Trevion. I cannot wait to see him get on that stage. Man, this is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait.
And I believe
we also,
Mark Nelson, Joaquin, sneaking out the first scene, yeah? We see him right away.
He is because he is, I can't give it away, but yes, he is.
All right. It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful gala, and I definitely cannot say thank you for coming on the show. I have a couple of more questions. Are there going to be any representatives from the media on site?
Yes, there are going to be quite a few. We've given out several media outlets, so yes.
All right. And after L.A., where would you like to take the stage play out, Brianna?
I'm sorry.
Okay, we're echoing. So after Los Angeles, where would you like to take the stage play?
Okay, you're saying after L.A. what?
Where would you like to work in
the North Carolina, October.
All right. All right. I was hoping you were going to say the Bay Area.
We are coming to the up that way, Judy. I just haven't set that in stone yet. But I did promise you I was coming that way. And I will.
All right. Well, I'm so glad that echo didn't come in toward the end of the show. So I just want to thank everybody for being a part of A Touch of Grace. And all of you are welcome back to the show anytime for individual interviews on any other project that you're working on. God, that echo is driving me crazy. So, Adriana, are there any final thoughts?
I'm sorry.
Hi. Adriana, are there any final thoughts you'd like to leave listeners with today?
It's an echo, like a real bad echo.
It's a horrible echo. Yeah. Here, let me see something. I'm not sure where that is.
Do you understand what he's saying?
Was there any other questions that you want to bring up to him right now? Adriana? Yes. I don't think there is at this time, sir. All right. Well, I just want to say thank you guys so much for being a part of the show. I wish you very much success, and I'm going to let you guys go back to your afternoon of rehearsal. But God bless each and every one of you, and thank you for doing something so positive for humanity. That's exactly what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir, for having us.
Thank you very much for having us. All right. Take care.
All right. You too.
All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, what a treat was that. I just got a chance to interview the Los Angeles cast of In-Laws from Hell that will be opening in Los Angeles this weekend. It's going to be opening at the, let me go ahead and get the place. It is going to be opening at the Wilshire Abell Theater this Saturday on the 9th. And you can get tickets by phone at 702-808-1261. It was a fantastic interview, though the last part of it, it had an annoying echoing. So if you listen to it, it's going to be a great show. It sounds like there's a great cast that's involved. Malini Khan, daughter of Chaka Khan, will actually be on set as well. And so it's going to be a fantastic, fantastic show. So I want to say thank you guys so much for tuning in today. And I'm going to leave you with a little bit of spirituality. It's called Make Me a Believer by Kirk Whalum. Take care. Thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I wanna live, wanna learn,
Layla Hathaway and Kevin Williams.
Ah, yes, that was Kirk Whalum and Layla Hathaway singing Make Me a Believer as recorded by Luther Vandross. It has been a great show here today here on A Touch of Grace. Summer 2014 is in full effect here on the show, so do look for my postings about the dates and times for future shows here on A Touch of Grace. Mark Gordon, the remaining member of the R&B group LaVert, will be here on the symbolic 200th episode of the show. That will be on Saturday, August 9th, 2014. So it's going to be a great show, and I hope you join in helping me celebrate this milestone here in broadcasting excellence on A Touch of Grace. On Sunday, the 10th of August, I have Lamont Gant of Genius Film, filmmaker, who's going to join me to talk about the art of making movies. So that'll be another great show. Special thanks go out to grand supporters of A Touch of Grace, George Livingston, celebrity photographer, Snowman, celebrity security, and former bodyguard for James Brown for over 20 years. The movie Get On Up is in theaters right now, so hopefully you'll go out there and take a gander at that. I tell you, it was fantastic. Chadwick Boseman did a fantastic job as James Brown. I'd like to also thank my friends over at World Media for making a lot of these shows possible here on Street Player Presents here in the fourth and fifth season. And last but certainly not least, Lewis Randy Rand Wilkerson, the inspiring man behind Coffee with God by Randy Rand. If you haven't checked out his courage, Google him and get to know him. He's really a fabulous human being. I can't thank you guys enough for making this show as successful as it has been. And I just want to leave you with this. Please make sure that you're loving yourself and love those around you. Time is short. You take care of yourself, all right? And thanks for tuning in today.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.